Viva la vegan! Hello, I'm Lee Chantel from Viva la Vegan, and I'd like to welcome Jordan Halliday and Jeremy Parkin, and they're from the Which Side podcast, which you can find at whichsidepodcast.com. How are you both?
Doing well.
That's good. And we've just actually had another podcast. I've been interviewed for your podcast. When will that be live?
Should be not this Sunday, but the next.
Okay, cool. Look forward to it. And it's 8:30 a.m. on a Sunday, my time in Brisbane, Australia. And it's about, 3:30 Saturday in Utah?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool. And so this is the first of hopefully many of my podcasts. Getting back into podcasts this year, guys. And I thought I would interview you and find out some of your tricks of the trade with your podcasts.
Okay.
So when did you start your podcast?
It would have been November of October, somewhere around there.
Of when?
Of 2012.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, holy crap.
So that's a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how often do you do the podcasts?
It's once a week.
Once a week. And do you do them all at once, or say you do 4 one day a month, or do you do them each week?
We try to do them each week. Sometimes we'll double stack them to get a back catalog in case, we're busy on the weekend or have other things going on where we can't record.
Mm-hmm. And how long do you normally aim for with the podcasts?
An hour is usually our minimum.
Mm-hmm. And do you go over much?
Every once in a while, if we're in a deep conversation, we'll go over, but usually we try to stick it to that hour.
Yeah.
And
so a lot of the podcast people say keep to about 20 minutes or 30 minutes. What do you think about that?
I think it works for some podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fine sometimes with podcasts going as long as 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
If it's engaging enough, then
yeah.
I think it's definitely...
What are those podcasts
that
go for 4 hours?
Oh, there's a lot of great history podcasts. There's a lot of great in-depth interview podcasts. What I like is that we try to be more conversational, and it gives you a lot more runway to go down the interview and go down more avenues than just, almost sound bites. You can get a lot more accomplished in that hour time frame.
Definitely. I enjoyed our podcast before anyway.
Yeah.
And why did you start the podcast?
Well, there's a lot of great vegan podcasts out there and everything, but it seemed like a lot of it was all about veganism. We wanted to have a slightly different, more relaxed side to activism, veganism, and anarchism, and just have that more of a relaxed feel where it's not just the preaching to the choir, but more just hanging out with your friends.
Mm. Yeah, it was very good, very casual sort of feel, the podcast. And is that what you're trying to get, the more... just relaxed friends, sort of talking to friends type thing?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's like if you just met somebody for the first time and you're hanging out and just trying to get to know them.
Yeah, that's cool. And so what are your favorite vegan podcasts? Other ones than yours? Do you listen to them?
Go first. Honestly, this is going to sound really bad. I try not to listen to them because... it seems like I don't want to either be stealing ideas or being influenced too much by one way or the other.
Mm.
So I really just try to keep to myself. I do listen to a lot of podcasts, but I kind of purposely stay away from the vegan ones.
Mm. Yeah, I do the same too. I don't really listen to many podcasts for one, but I do. I'm a big fan of Australian Football League, so our own football, so I listen to the AFL podcasts, but that's about it. And what topics do you speak of on your podcast?
On our podcast?
It ranges from every guest.
Usually we try to find guests in radical circles, anarchism, veganism, activism in general, environmental activism, or animal activism.
And then with those, we just let the conversation flow.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's really serious, and sometimes it's just joking. One that comes to mind is we had Honey LeBronx from the Big Fat Radio on.
Yeah.
And she decided to do some very interesting things live on show. So, so check that one out if you want to go down a road that not many people would want to go down.
Intriguing. Jordan, I cut you off with your favorite podcast or what podcast you listen to.
Oh, I like history podcasts. I like useless information podcasts, stuff like that, that distracts my time, more or less, that I can listen to while working or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, when I'm working or when I'm doing something, I really don't like any distraction whatsoever, so I'm pretty much silent most of the time when I work. Do you find you work better or not so when you have distractions or sound?
I think if I'm doing programming, then I want it to be silent, but if I'm doing like graphic design, then I don't mind background noise.
Actually, one of my friends, Adele Walker, she has a website, Bambi Wants Revenge, and she does all my design stuff, and she always works with music. So whenever we're working together, it's always music. But I've just been reading this book about the Mozart effect, all about music and how, like, if you're doing something creative, like the graphic design stuff, when you're listening to music or something else that's creative, it inspires your own creativity.
You know, a lot of industrial designers are required to listen to music. I know Nike requires their industrial designers to listen to music.
Really?
But they're not allowed to listen to jazz music, ironically enough.
Hmm.
Because they say jazz music in that setting inhibits them a little bit.
Yeah, this book, I'm only just sort of starting it, but it's talking about different styles and what, you know, Mozart obviously is the best sort of one, and some of his piano sonata, or I can't remember now, but they're specifically for study or to do some really good work.
Have you ever listened to Mozart with his tempo, with his own tempo markings?
No, I don't think so.
It's insane. A lot of people think he was crazy with his tempo markings because it should be anywhere from 2 to 5 times faster in a lot of parts. So it's pretty interesting if you ever want to
like,
Google
so
that.
It's sped up. Mozart's sped up.
Way sped up. Mm-hmm. Like to the point that like it makes the musicians make mistakes. And that's was kind of like what a lot of people theorize he was going for.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. And if you go back to the topics we were speaking about before, what are your favorite things to speak to people about on your podcast?
I love origin stories. I love what brought people to their activism, what brought people to veganism or anarchism. I love the origin stories.
Mm. Definitely.
I like absurd police interactions. That's always a fun one. If there are. I also like to know how people decompress when they have when they're doing a lot of things, so that's interesting as well.
How do you both decompress then?
Honestly, this podcast is a decompression for me now.
I could say that too. I think definitely this and just watching movies or playing video games.
Mm-hmm. Cool. What about Guitar Hero? I like Guitar Hero.
We were both really into that.
That was massive for years ago, wasn't it? And then it sort of died.
Just died. Yeah.
It
did just die out. Yeah, I liked it. For sure.
Yeah, it was great. Some of my friends and I, that's what we used to do for months on end. It was a lot of fun.
We got really good at it. I almost beat the whole thing on expert, but I didn't quite get through the last level on expert. I kind of gave up and just was like, nope.
When it was first out, actually, I was working at this, I was in a music store and we had videos and everything as well. And I was at a stall around Christmas demoing the Guitar Hero for people. And I remember I woke the person I was up with by playing on his hand with my fingers as though I was playing Guitar Hero. He was like, you play Guitar Hero too much. And I thought, that's probably not good. So can you tell me both about why you first went vegan?
I'll go first. Okay. I went vegetarian at the age of 11. It started out with just the realization of where meat really comes from, that it's really an animal. and it expanded from there. When I went vegetarian at first, my parents made me promise them that I wouldn't go vegan, which then introduced me to what the term vegan was, and I had to research that. And when I finally did become vegan, I was afraid to tell my parents because I went against their one promise that they were going to be okay with. So I was vegan for about 3 months before my parents actually realized it. They're just, one day my mom was like, "You haven't eaten cheese ravioli in like 3 months. What the hell is going on?" I'm like, "I'm vegan." And it was this little blowout. But yeah.
How old were you then when you were vegan?
13.
Yeah.
13. Mm-hmm.
I definitely think, because I was young too when I first made that connection. So I do think kids get the connection more than adults do. And so your mum's okay with it now?
Yeah, she's actually been, you know, going through high school and everything. She actually became one of my biggest supporters through high school and being an activist and then going, you know, through what a lot of activists go through. And after her house was raided by the FBI, she actually became like my staunchest supporter.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
And what about you, Jordan?
I was in some off-track program when I was a kid.
What's an off-track program?
So they have, in our school systems here, some of them have these track programs, and while some kids are in school, other kids are out of school.
Mm-hmm.
And
like
so,
homeschooling or?
No, it's just.
So they can cram more classes.
It's so that they can fit more kids into a school. They some kids will have a certain amount of period, off, like a certain time off while other kids are in the school. And so during
like
the time.
Different times, like some kids mm-hmm. go to school in the morning, some afternoon.
No, so like there's like usually four tracks, and one track will always be off at a time, and so every 12 weeks one track will be off for 3 weeks, and then it rotates who's there. So every, would that be every 12 weeks? I think
yeah.
they rotate. Yeah.
So you would be like track two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I was out of school at this period, and so there was a local farm here called Wheeler Farm,
mm-hmm.
and they had this off-track program for kids that were out of school because parents still have to go to work.
Mm.
And I was actually the only person that signed up for that week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time they did it. And during that time, a cow had given birth to a calf and they named it after me.
Aww.
And so that kind of, that was the initial seed, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
But about 2 years later, or during that time, I visited periodically, and one of the times that I'd visited, the cow wasn't there any longer,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of freaking out. I'm like, well, what happened to Jordan? And no one was telling me, and they told my parents that they sold it to a bee dealer who either sold it to the rodeo or maybe went for veal. I think it was more rodeo, knowing what I know about veal now, but...
Mm-hmm.
So soon after that, we were having steak for dinner, and I think my family jokingly said something like that we could be eating Jordan.
Aww.
And so that kind of was where the connection clicked.
Yeah.
And so I pushed my plate away, and I didn't eat meat since that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I went vegetarian, and then it was just a couple years after that that I like learned about veganism and went vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, good. It's good
yeah.
to be part of the flock, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much the scene sometimes, but still. So can you tell me about the process of podcasting and what you do? Like what do you use? What programs? Do you edit? Do you just do it all straight out? All that sort of stuff.
Well, we started out using GarageBand on a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
We actually started using just the internal mic on an iMac,
mm-hmm.
Which listening to them now, it's not the greatest quality, but it's passable and you can do it. And then through donations that we got from our listeners, we upgraded to a USB Snowball, Blue Snowball mic.
Which we're using right now.
Snowball, is that a condenser mic or...?
You know, honestly, I don't know too much about it. I know it has three different directions.
Okay.
He's trying to show it to you. Yeah.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. Like the props.
And then from there, we actually got more donations where we actually upgraded to the Samsung CO1U condenser microphones, USB microphones that we use for the show now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'll show that to you.
If I can.
You can show yours.
Yeah. So here.
There it is.
Okay.
So,
cool.
And we made these Nifty Pop filters ourselves, saving as much money as we could. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did you make them?
So it's a knitting yarn knitting thing that holds like cross stitches in place. And then just put nylon around that and then hooked it to discarded electrical wire, and that's what holds it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Saved us about 20, 40 bucks.
Yeah, it saved
yeah.
us quite a bit of money by hand making them. And then we now record on Logic Pro directly, which is part of the Apple Professional Recording Suite.
Mm-hmm. So I've just got, what's it called? Call Recorder. So my friend Jasmine Singer from Al Hen House, she uses this. And it's amazing because you can record, like what I'm doing now, I'm recording the audio and the visual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you do both visual and audio or just audio?
Right now we're just audio.
Mm-hmm. And so the Logic Pro that you use, does that also do video?
No, it's in combination with another program, which would be Final Cut, which you would record the video in Final Cut with the audio being recorded in Logic Pro,
mm-hmm.
if we were going to do it, yeah.
And would you think about that in the future, or it's just too much work?
We've thought about it, and we have a bunch of plans, but it's a lot of work. Like, putting these out every week gets way more work than we ever thought.
It is.
When we first decided to do weekly, we had no idea how much it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when you record, like, say we just did our podcast today and that was, like, what, an hour, 10 minutes. Do you do much editing to that?
As little as possible.
Yeah. So do you add, like, an intro or an outro or?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we add usually anywhere from a 2 to 5 minute intro,
mm-hmm.
Which we'll talk about events that are happening across the nation that either people are looking, that they want to promote, or just things that we find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And we introduce the guests that way. And then we also do an outro, which we'll talk about any sponsors. And then, you know.
We have our theme song that we throw in there as
well.
Yeah,
our theme songs. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I've just got a theme song now that I did at the beginning. It's good to have a little theme song, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, with the editing, you do just record that with Logic Pro with the outro and intro?
Mm-hmm.
And just put it together?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, yeah.
Splice it in.
You just splice it in, and then we'll drop in our music bed, and that'll be a little music on the over us, or under us, I should say, on the intro and outro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where do you get that music from?
Right now what we do is we scour free use sites, or it licenses free music,
mm-hmm.
and we'll find music that we find that will best fit. Sometimes we'll just go find, you know, vegan anarchist bands and throw some stuff on there. But,
and do you have the music through the whole way or just parts?
Just through the intro and outro.
Cool. Yeah, that's one thing you hear with some people that do podcasts or even videos and interviews and stuff like that. They have music throughout. And for me, I detest editing. It's one of those things that I just can't handle too much. So, yeah, I would just do one take for everything, even my videos. It's just one take, quick. And you might, if you stuff up something or, you know, you just, like, take that little bit out. But that's pretty much all I would do. And I love this new toy that I've got now, this call recorder, because I just did a quick demo with my mum yesterday. And it just can split into video and audio. Like, you don't have to do anything. And then it just converts it into, like, MP3 or the audio, what's the AAC or something? So seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I was gonna say we've definitely looked into doing some video stuff. We want to expand our collective. We have talks of podcasts coming out of India right now,
mm-hmm.
and some other places that will join our podcast collective. And so we've talked about video. We have ideas, but haven't done anything with it yet.
Yeah.
I think also, like, for me this year, because, you know, a lot of people, I've just been really stuck with what to do with podcasts. So the videos that I do, like, I do a regular question and answer series on YouTube every Tuesday. So I just detach the audio from that, or the audio goes into an MP3, and then I just upload that to my podcast as well. So I'm just using, instead of the video, just for video, I'm using it also for audio, and then instead of the audio with the podcast, also for video. So I think that's good. Just, you know, you're not doubling up, or you're not doing more work.
Definitely.
And what about like headphones? I see you've got headphones on, Jeremy. Oh, you both have, sorry. Yours are green. Do you need the headphones? Like, is it important?
Well, since we record in individual microphones, we, in order to pick up the incoming audio, if we played it over a loudspeaker, it would be playing into those microphones since they're so sensitive, and it would create a feedback loop. So it is pretty mandatory for how our setup is.
Mm-hmm. And so anything else? Any other things that you use or that you need or you think is important for people to have?
We have... we can't really show, you can see kind of in the back of us right here, behind our black flag, we have,
there's sound insulation bands, so it helps stop any reverb in the room.
Okay.
But really, I gotta say, our setup now is really great, but it's nowhere near what you need to have to start. Like,
it's kind of things that we've added over time to improve the quality even that much more.
Mm. And with what, where do you upload your podcast to? So I use Podomatic, and then I've set it up so it automatically goes to iTunes. What do you do with the process once you've created it?
We use Libsyn as our podcast host.
How do you spell that? L-I-P?
L-I-B-S-Y-N.
Mm-hmm.
S-Y-N. Liberated. It stands for Liberated Syndication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Is that an American-based?
I believe they're American-based, yeah. But they're great because what they do is they don't cap your bandwidth at all, so we can have as many downloads as we want, and then they give us a monthly upload limit.
Okay.
But they keep our back catalog for us, so every single month that restarts, and any of our back catalog is now permanent, and we don't have to pay for that anymore.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been with them the whole time you've been doing the podcast?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have you heard anyone else that uses other hosts?
You know, I know a lot of people use different ones, but some of the bigger ones that I know of, like some of the just the bigger podcasts that are out there, most of them are actually with Liberated Syndication now. They're pretty big as far as the hosting goes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do once you've got your podcast online? How do you promote it?
I give it to Jordan and say, deal with it.
Yeah.
What usually do you do then, Jordan?
Usually what I do is I put a description on our podcast, and that's also uploaded onto iTunes. We're also syndicated through we have Vegan Feed, and then we have
I love that.
Stitcher.
Yeah.
Core Destruction Radio.
What's Stitcher?
Just picked us up. Stitcher is another podcast feed like iTunes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just got picked up by Core of Destruction Radio.
Tuesdays
at 10 a.m.
That's Eastern time?
Eastern time.
In the U.S., yeah.
Yeah. And then...
Like
New
York time? Is that Eastern time?
Yeah. Yeah,
yep.
I believe
mm-hmm.
so. And then...
So what does that mean when you said you just got picked up by them? They'll play
they
you...
Yeah, they replay the show that we release on Sunday or Monday.
Okay.
And they'll replay that on Tuesday at 10 through their audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, the ways that I promote are through social media mainly. And then I upload also onto our website. We have a streaming link, so you can listen through our website as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and the other ones we've named. And then, I try to add a photo of the person that we're interviewing most of the time, and I'll upload that to, say, Instagram, and then I'll tag it, and then I have that. I've set up programs that distribute it to other social media accounts, and then I'll go into those social media accounts and tweak them if I need to.
Mm-hmm. And but what pretty are much, your links for your social media?
We have Facebook. We do have Google Plus, but we don't update it. So that's something that we need to work on.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, and then we have Twitter and Instagram
and Tumblr.
And Tumblr are the ones that we use mainly.
And what do you find the best one to get out your podcast information, or you like to use all?
I think, well, we have the most followers on Facebook, with, or I should say likes, I guess. And then on Tumblr, we get a lot of good positive feedback from Tumblr. Twitter would be the next, and then say Instagram's probably the last. Well, after Google Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Google Plus would be the last.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that we get the most non-purposeful trackers, like people stumbling across us on vegan feed.
Mm-hmm.
That by far, it creates it generates a ton of traffic for us.
Yeah, me too, actually, with the vegan feed. And it always comes up on my Google alerts too, anything the vegan feed has of mine on there, which is really good. And there seems to be a lot of vegan podcasts, doesn't there?
Yeah, there definitely does. So.
And a lot of it, and I know through like Podomatic, where I host mine, there's a lot of health related ones as well. So that hopefully the message is getting out there.
Definitely.
I think it definitely is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so with, oh yeah, Google Plus, what do you think about it?
I just wasn't getting a good return from the effort that it took to put into it. And its API is not very compatible with other social medias. I don't know if that's changed, but...
you mean like if you post something on there and it'll link to another channel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think... No, it still hasn't.
Yeah. And so I like it easy, and so sometimes that it could take up to an hour of my day just doing, you know, social media stuff for one episode. And so if I have to take that additional time to post something elsewhere, it kind of is frustrating. But if we get a good response from it, I definitely am.
Yeah, because I, like we were saying before on my interview with you, that Google Plus for me, for VivaLaVegan.net, like it's massive. I got almost 20,000 followers on there. And at the beginning, I just was like, oh yeah, I'll just join and see what happens, and didn't really put too much effort into it whatsoever. And maybe, you know, because I was one of the first vegan pages on there, there was like the Vegan Society in the UK and myself and like a handful of others, but now there's a lot more, so maybe that helped just being there when it sort of started. But I do think it's only going to get bigger, and as more people are leaving Facebook, it's only going to get bigger and bigger. And like, you know, if you think they own YouTube, Google Ads, the map thing, what else did Google have? Gmail.
Oh,
they
have
everything.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to happen sooner or later.
Yeah. I could see it happening.
Mm.
And do you see most of your viewers or your subscribers from Australia, or are they from all over?
About 45% of my subscribers are from the US, in particular California.
Mm-hmm.
And then pretty close to that is Australia, Melbourne. So they're my main sort of thing. And also I have a lot more male than female. Like most vegans are skewed to the female side, but I have a lot more male just recently. So, yeah, I don't know what's happening with that. I find that interesting, though.
I'm not sure of the analytics of age or gender on ours.
Yeah, we've never really looked at that.
Ours are more location-based analytics for everything we have.
Yeah, in Google Analytics, is that what you use?
Libsyn's actually has its own analytics. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm not sure specifically for podcasts. I was talking more like my website and that. But I find I still do get a lot of traffic from Facebook. Like Google Plus traffic to my website, not as much as Facebook. And Pinterest is pretty close for me too. But just for the interaction and the amount of sharing and the comments on Google Plus is just like massive, which I find really cool.
And we'll got to get our new social media intern up and running and get him on that.
Yeah.
It's hard to let go of the reins sometimes, so to speak. Yeah, that's not a very vegan saying.
One of my friends keeps saying around the traps as well, and I'm like, stop saying that. What's the vegan version of that then?
Destroy the traps?
No, the reins one.
Oh, pass the stick?
Pass the tofurkey?
Oh, no. Pass the torch. That would be a
pass
good
the
one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Pass the torch.
And so who are the favorite people that you've interviewed on your podcast over the years?
That's hard.
I'm drawing names.
Honestly,
like, for names.
I really enjoy like the lesser known. We try to get people who aren't really vegan celebrities sometimes on, or anarchist celebrities, and I like some of the most interesting things that we've had are like Dave Gunn, for example.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's just telling us about his traveling stories where he's hitchhiked across America. And that's
cool.
That's way interesting to me.
Hmm.
There's so many interesting people. That's a hard question.
Yeah, it is a really hard question, and it changes every week.
Yeah, it would. And so who have you got coming up that you're going to interview? Do you normally have, like, you know, a few months you've got a list of people, or you're just like, oh, no, I need someone for tomorrow. Who can speak?
There's definitely been those moments
yeah.
where it's, oh, no, we need someone. But right now we have a pretty good lineup.
Yes.
We have
somebody who's doing a project with Vegan Indiegogo.
It's all about it's a vegan parenting website that they're starting.
What's that one called?
We have them coming up.
What was that?
What's it called, that website?
I'd have to look it up. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right.
I'd have to look at my calendar.
And then we might be interviewing, I don't know, we have some people in the talks that aren't confirmed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool. And so how do you get people to interview?
My wife actually does all of our
booking,
social
yeah.
or our booking. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Is that Mari?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Cool. So I just to organize this into this podcast with us, I just emailed you and just said I'd love to interview you and we could do a podcast swap. And do you get many people that do that?
We've had it a couple times.
We've had
now.
A couple. Yeah,
Ian McDonald was one. That we've
from
done
vegan
recently.
Option.
Vegan Option.
In the UK,
mm-hmm.
yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he was, he's had a Kickstarter for a new podcast that he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
Who else have we had that we've done that with?
My mind is drawing so, I'm so bad with names.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened a few times, and we enjoyed it over time, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Good. And you both live in Salt Lake City. In Utah,
yes.
yeah.
in the
mm-hmm.
States. Can you tell me what the vegan scene's like over there?
You know, it's hard to say, like, what's it like, because it's just, like, home.
Mm.
But it's changed so much in the last, you know, 10 years, where especially in Utah, we went from having, you know, 10 years ago, one vegan restaurant and just a couple vegan-friendly restaurants to having numerous vegan restaurants, vegan bakeries, and a tremendous amount of vegan options and vegan-friendly places. It's been like night and day. So it's fantastic, yeah.
And have you noticed it, like, the past 5 years or 10 years? Or, like, have you noticed?
I'd really say, like, 5 years ago it was, like, a pinnacle change
mm-hmm.
here. Like, you could go to a place and say, I'm vegan, and they'd actually know what you mean instead of having to explain it. So
yep.
There's still times that you do have to, but I'd say it's very,
that's
very
far the exception.
Yeah.
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 Mm. And have you both always lived in Utah?
I've traveled around and, you know, a couple months here or there in other places, but mostly here, yeah.
Yeah, Utah's always been my home, but I have lived elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. And what are other places you'd like to go in the States?
Like to visit or like
yeah,
to live?
To visit, to live, to eat vegan food, whatever.
I love New York.
Yeah.
I've always loved New York. I love traveling to New York.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since my daughter, we've kind of, you know, haven't done that as much as we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle, Portland are definitely good vegan choices.
Yeah.
But I New York's great. Denver, too.
Yeah, Denver's great, too. I kind of prefer traveling to, like, smaller unknown places and kind of just figure out veganism on the way.
Mm. Yeah, I'm more West Coast than East Coast in the States. I New York's great to visit, but I just don't get why everyone is just like, I love New York all the time. I like to, you know, see the stars and see the trees and hear the birds, and it's very with people, like, you know, it's similar to some of the large, like, Asian sort of cities as well. There's no eye contact. Everyone's just quickly passing you, whereas I'm like, oh, hi, hi.
Maybe that's just because that's what I get all the time here.
Yeah.
That it's just the difference that I really like.
You
yeah.
like it, yeah. And you said you have a daughter, Jeremy. How old is she?
I do. She's 7. She's
and
almost 8.
Is she vegan?
She, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and your family's
mm-hmm.
vegan?
Mm-hmm.
And so how hard is that for other people to understand?
You know, we were really worried about her when she started school and preschool. We're really lucky. She doesn't go to a public school here.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to a chartered school, and they're fantastic. There's another vegan kid in her class and 2 other vegetarian kids in her class.
Oh, wow.
So they understand it very well. They donate books all the time, so, like, when it's their birthday, they get to pick out a book and donate it to their class.
Oh, cool.
And, like, every year she's always picked out Vegan is Love to donate to her class.
By
so,
Ruby Roth, yeah, good book.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. So, really, all of our fears were just fears, and none of it has come to fruition. Like, it's been honestly fantastic.
Yeah. Do you have any children, Jordan?
I don't.
No plans?
No plans.
My sister just had a baby recently, so I've been doing auntie duties, and baby Blake, he got Ruby's V is for Vegan book, and she signed it for me, and but he doesn't understand it yet. He just wants to eat it because he's just about 5 months old. So, and actually, so many of my friends are having babies at the moment. We've got, I think, four of my vegan friends. So we had one, Elisa, before I went, my vegetarian baby for my sister, and a friend, Dan, just had a girl, Summer, and then another friend, Chris, just had her baby. So we've had, like, a heap of babies all of a sudden. It happens.
That's the best way to make them make sure that they're vegan, though.
Yeah, but can you really ever make sure someone's vegan?
With enough force.
Because this is the thing, like, a friend of mine, Carol Glasser, I don't know if you know her, but she
mm-hmm.
did this really cool speech at the Critical Animal Studies conference last year I was part of, and it was about, what did she call it, liberation, not procreation, and it was really cool, and it's on her vagina website too, and she was giving a debate with this other guy about whether vegans should be bringing kids into the world or not, or another life. And she was saying, you know, just because you raise someone vegan doesn't mean they will necessarily be vegan, which is true, isn't it?
It is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I kind of look at it in a weird way, like religion. You see more people stay in a religion if they're born into it than if they're converted into it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
And she was talking about, you know, if you actually adopt someone rather than give birth to someone, that you can actually influence them, I don't know, a lot more maybe, because they were not vegan and then they now are vegan.
I think they're all valid points.
Yeah.
I think it's whatever best for each individual family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I just loved it because it was just so outside the square of what certain people had heard before, and she gave a good debate against this other guy. So what are your plans for the rest of your weekend?
My family is actually having a huge St. Patrick's Day party.
Okay.
So we're going to head over there and have vegan hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. That'll be good.
I know it's a little earlier than St. Patrick's Day, but it's one time we could get together.
Yeah, when is St. Patrick's Day? 13th?
I think it's... Yeah, I think
17th?
I don't know. I don't really pay attention.
For the festival that I put on, we always had it around St. Patrick's Day, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This would probably be the weekend if I was having my festival.
Yeah.
What about you, Jordan? Any plans?
Nothing today. We're going to be doing another podcast tomorrow. Then
mm-hmm.
Probably helping my father with some sheetrocking in his house.
Oh, yeah,
what's sheetrocking?
Walls, building walls.
Building walls, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that like a brand?
No, it's what they call the gypsum board.
Yeah, okay. So we would use the brand names, like we've got Gyprock, so
Gyprock, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Something,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool, that'll be fun.
Sure.
Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I've got one of my biggest fans, actually, Jim. He's coming over from Tasmania, so I'm seeing him this week. So we're going out to lunch and doing some videos and some interviews this afternoon. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Just seems weird that you're like, oh, he's coming from Tasmania.
Well, I've never been to Tasmania, actually, but it's meant to be gorgeous.
I have a friend from Tasmania. She's now living in the States.
Okay.
She married Jeffrey Lurs, Lilia. She worked with the Sea Shepherds down there, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Good. Yeah, a lot of people come over here for the Sea Shepherd. A heap of my friends have come over for Sea Shepherd missions, so it's good getting a lot of stuff done here. Okay, well, Jordan, Jeremy from Which Side Podcast, which you can find at whichsidepodcast.com. Thank you very much for taking the time out to speak with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck with your podcast, and I'll speak to you next time. And for everyone else, check out vivalavegan.net for more information. Thank you.